Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Welcome to the Glass Cannon, where we are playing Pendragon Under an Iron Sky, and it is a season finale, everybody. Woo! Can you dig it?
That's a big one!
Huge. Okay, we're all here. It's been a minute. Huge. Everyone's doing Australian accents now, because that's just one of many bits that you missed if you didn't go to the Glass Cannon retreat in Vegas.
Yeah,
unfortunately Nora couldn't come to, but the rest of us were there, and you could have been there too. Here's some things you missed if you didn't go to Vegas this year. You missed Skid playing in a game, doing a flawless Jack Nicholson the entire time.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I didn't. I think about it every day.
That was really fun. It was good.
Yeah, don't say what game it was. It's a secret. You missed the opportunity to give me a gift. Which many people, took that opportunity.
Availed themselves, exactly, right.
So if you want to come to Vegas and give Brian Holland a gift, there's no better time to do it. But we're all here. We're super excited. This is the last episode of Pendragon Under an Iron Sky, potentially forever.
Don't say that, Brian.
Well, I just want the people to understand the stakes. They're the masters of their own destiny. If you want to get a copy of, say, the Noble's Handbook, which I have here, physical, and it is a meaty tome. Like, here's it is next to the... Oh. It's a big boy. They're big boys. You know, that is the third of the core Pendragon books. You can get anything on chaosium.com under the Pendragon line for 15% off using the code PENCANON3. You probably can't get that X-Men comic
Use PENCANON3 and try to get a discount on X-Men comic.
Skid's just holding up things from his room.
So that code's going to be live for a while after this airs anyway. So tell your friends, even if they don't watch the show, right? You can tell them, go get some stuff for free. If you want to run some Pendragon. Okay, everyone's just holding things up. I'm trying to do a sales pitch. Everybody's just doing.
He's trying to do what we told him to do.
Everyone's just holding up things.
Please use the code because I want to play more Pendragon. Please, everyone, look at me. Full screen me. Full screen me, Joe. Full screen me.
No.
Full screen me.
We had enough issues with your camera.
Please look into my eyes. I need this game in my life. I don't have much, but I have this game. Please spend your hard-earned dollars using the PENCANON 3 code so that I can play more Pendragon. Thank you, Joe. You can make me normal size again.
Are you actually crying? You can sponsor Paula.
You can sponsor
this
child.
You can sponsor a gamer like Paula.
That's too. that's the second Sarah McLachlan reference that we've had this season. But it was so long ago that we recorded. So here's the thing, though. This is our South Park episode. This is our week to go live, which is why we're topical right now. So it's been a while for us. But we're super excited. I've done a lot of things. We went to Vegas. I also went overseas on my belated honeymoon. I went to Ireland.
Ooh.
I bought this tin whistle. That's pretty cool. Anyway, you know, it's all there.
You couldn't have gotten that.
I bought it. I bought this in Galway. It's exciting.
Did you meet any Irish bandits while you were there that could like
we had all of our luggage stolen by people on the road. No, that didn't happen at all.
Exactly.
Believed you for a second.
We drove around the UK. I went to the Isle of Avalon. I went to Glastonbury tour. We walked up there. Tell you what, fucking steep hill. And we got up there. You know, this beautiful old place. And all I'm thinking is how do these people haul these stones up here to build what was once a church, and now there's only a portion of the church up there. And we get up there, and it's beautiful. And I'm waiting to like sort of try and feel this experience and let myself just be given over to the Pendragon of it all, and try to remember like, hey, once Sir Caradoc came here to get the sorceress Nimue to help them fight against the King Lot.
Yes.
And there are other people up there as well, you know. Some of them, however, a couple of them were just like having a picnic with like a Wonder Boom, you know, those external big speaker.
Which
I find obnoxious at the best of times, but at this beautiful historic site, my wife and I get up there, and all of a sudden it's just Bring Me to Life by Evanescence is just pumping.
Oh, come on.
Can't wake up. Now, if you are in Vegas, you could have seen Mary Lou do the best solo rendition of that song at karaoke that I have ever witnessed.
I heard about it. It was the talk of the weekend.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it sounded pretty crazy.
But again,
like if she had that was an incredible performance by all accounts, but if she had stood on top of that hill and started doing it, would have been a little annoying. No matter how good
it would have been
a
little annoying. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Did she sing both parts?
She did.
Nice.
She did sing both parts.
I think Kate
even asked to sing the other part with her, and she said, no, sorry, I have a thing that I do.
That's quite good. Anyway, so it's the last episode of Pendragon Under an Iron Sky in this new season. Anything anyone wants to say or get off their chest before we dive in and continue the story? Paula has something to say. Make a big joke. I'm joking.
No. I need Brian visible for this. Brian, didn't get a chance. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Make Brian big. Make Brian big. Brian, I think you have a really nice sweater on. Excuse me. I really like the jumper you're wearing. And
no, it's a sweater.
It's a sweater for you. Good. I really like the sweater you're wearing. And I didn't notice it the first hour we were on the call because I was having technical problems.
Did you know where I might have bought this sweater?
In Ireland?
That's correct. Yes.
Wow. So it's got like an Irish sweater.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Oh, because it's good. Winter for you, right?
Yeah, as I explained in the last episode, or maybe the one before, winter here is in the middle of the year.
I always wanted to ask someone from down where you are. Santa Claus, does he wear like board shorts and like a Hawaiian shirt?
No, and this is, look, I don't want to get on my whole colonialism issue thing, but this is the problem with Australia having no culture, is that we're just constantly trying to retain, like we will have it, we still, it is like, you know, 100 and something degrees here on Christmas Day, but it's still like we're having a full roast dinner because that's what happens at Christmas, because we are unable as a culture to let go of the colonial heritage and find our own thing. But yes, Santa and all the stuff is dressed up like it's winter, like the middle of winter.
A Memorial Day barbecue at Christmas instead.
That'd be way better than turning the oven on, wouldn't it? There's nothing like that, not to bum everybody out. But Christmas does still happen. It's just on a sunny day.
Okay.
People swim sometimes. Yeah, it still happens here. Yeah.
I think you should live at the South Pole.
And I didn't bring this up last time, but yes, I think last episode you asked something about the toilet, which way the toilet water goes.
Yeah.
Oh,
stop me if I brought this up before, but I need you all to understand that your toilets in America have way more water in them than most toilets in other countries. There's not enough water in Australian toilets to see which way it goes around on the way down.
Yeah, we need, as Nora's pointing out, based on the diet here, it might be the need for extra water to wash some things away.
Joe, do you have any extra, do you have any toilet thoughts that you wanted to share? You've been very quiet this whole band.
I would love to play Pendragon.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw that out.
We're going to do that just for Joe O'Brien right after these messages.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Hi, we're Meg Bashwinner.
And Joseph Fink.
Of Welcome to Night Vale. And on our new show, The Best Worst, we explore the golden age of television.
To do that, we're watching the IMDb viewer-rated best and worst episodes of classic TV shows.
The episode of Star Trek, where Beverly Crusher has sex with a ghost. The episode of The X-Files, where Scully gets attacked by a vicious house cat.
And also the really good episodes, too.
What can we learn from the best and worst of great television? Like, for example, is it really a bad episode, or do people just hate women?
The Best Worst, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Pendragon Under an Iron Sky, where the bandit Barnabas is just about to cross swords with Dame Fiona. Dame Fiona Spearmaiden.
That's right.
Nicholas has just appeared at the top of this hill that looks down into this clearing, and he has declared that he will instead fight Barnabas. And Barnabas, this bandit, he squints up into the sunlight that's, you know, the light is peering down. He squints up, he's looking up at Nicholas, and he just sort of shrugs and says, "Who the fuck are you?" And Nicholas looks around and says, "Well, I suppose that depends on who you ask." He slowly begins to descend toward the camp, you know, and it's this precarious, steep hill. His hands are grabbing at nearby tree trunks to steady him as he goes. "These fine knights here would tell you I'm Nicholas." He takes tiny, cautious steps as he leaves the trees behind. "My first teacher, however, well, he'd always just call me a wise young man." Nicholas makes his way to the clearing. He dusts off his backside, you know, scattering pine needles to the floor. Remember, he's wearing like peasant's rags. When I was a lad, well, all the other boys were rather cruel, and they actually just called me Wart.
No, it is!
Stop it!
He steps closer to Barnabas and Fiona, though his eyes never leave the bandit. "My family, however, calls me Arthur." And he raises his rusted, beaten-up sword to point directly at the face of Barnabas. "But you, bandit, can call me King."
I kneel immediately in front of him. Right? He's our king. I think we have to. I kneel.
Yeah, I also do.
Same.
The bandits and Barnabas are looking around like, what the f-?
I trusted you this entire time, my lord. My king.
I knew it was you, your grace.
Are you serious? You people, this boy's in rags. He's not the king. First of all, the real king was King Lot, who was tragically killed at the battle. Oh, yes, may the lord rest his soul. He genuflects.
May, is there anything we would know that we could roll right now to see, like, have we heard about an identifying mark or seen a drawing or something, a portrait of Arthur, to be able to know, like, oh yeah, this is him, or no, Arthur actually has a freckle and this guy doesn't have any, I don't know.
Well, he doesn't, like, he wouldn't have Excalibur yet, right?
Correct. No, so, he's just, well, he's like, the sword he's got is the same one.
But he would have the sword that he drew from the stone.
Yeah. Right? If that's, yeah, but the one he's holding, if it was the one he drew from the stone, does it's the one that Sequeakin inspected that looks, you know, rusty and dented.
Right.
But either way, I mean, if nothing else, he certainly has the confidence if he's the boy king.
Even if he's
I'm going to roll my trusting because I want to see how Quigan reacts here. I don't want to be suspicious. I want to believe that this is King Arthur. And yeah, as Quigan, that would be amazing. But he's like, I also don't want to be made a fool of. And so there's maybe a second hesitation, and I failed it. I failed trusting.
We're basically just, we would be taking Brian's word for the fact that he's the boy king.
Totally. He is the GM.
And that's a terrible idea.
Yeah. Because, well, because honestly, it's like, there's, like, we would have never seen him before, right?
Correct. You haven't seen him.
Yeah, maybe... Yeah, I don't know.
He's not like the plays for the NBA. Like,
okay.
Drawing or something? I don't know. Yeah.
All right. So I rolled trusting and I failed. So then I rolled suspicious and I rolled a 13 over 12. So
you failed that
too. That's also a fail. So I think he will hesitate and then just like take a knee. The fourth of the four
even
of us.
If I'm saying this above the table, even if this is what Fiona's thinking. This isn't really him. It kind of doesn't matter. This is a bluff that we could, if it's just a bluff, we could play it to our advantage. If we convince the bandits that that's Arthur, then we can get out of this. Yeah.
We can Quigan settle is not who smart he enough actually to think is later.
Yeah.
The bandits are all looking at you and they're sort of laughing as you're kneeling. And Barnabas looks at Fiona and sort of shrugs. So, what? I thought we were about to fight to see if Nicholas... Maybe the boy King Arthur raises his sword once more and points it towards the bandit. No, ignore her. Cross your blade with mine or cast it aside. But if you run, we will only chase you. He smirks and the bandits gathered because that's what Barnabas just said to Fiona, and the bandits actually snicker and laugh at that. And Barnabas looking around towards his compatriots and the gathered knights almost as if looking for advice. He's just like, you know, and the bandits begin to sneer, slot the boy's head off!
Barnabas, I think I would listen to the man who rules the land that you happen to be living on.
He looks down at Fiona and glances at Nicholas, and then he suddenly swings his blade out at Arthur, who narrowly steps back, avoiding the blow. The boy king keeps his rusted sword nimble in his hand, swinging it left and right, smacking the enemy blade aside. He steps about and behind Barnabas, smacking him on the ass with the flat of his sword. The gathered laugh, and Barnabas turns and howls in fury, taking the handle in both hands and driving his sword toward the boy, and Arthur once again narrowly steps back, exceedingly light on his feet, perhaps due to the fact he is actually wearing no armor, as a reminder to you all. But Barnabas continues to attack, and Arthur only dodges or parries, parries the blow aside each time. I'm going to ask you all to make your choice of the following. You can either make a forgiving or vengeful roll, or a merciful, cruel roll, depending on how you think your character might feel about this. So basically, you're either rolling forgiving, vengeful, merciful, or cruel.
Towards... the guy who's towards Barnabas?
Yeah. You're thinking like, well, this is the situation where it kind of looks like maybe Arthur's either playing with him or is not fighting honorably, or, you know, is smacking him on the ass with the flat of his sword is
that's
maybe a bit obnoxious.
Insulting.
But also this guy sucks. Like, so that's what I'm asking is.
I'm going to try merciful. I don't know what everyone else is doing. That's me.
I'm going to, since my forgiving and vengeful is 10 and 10, I'm going to roll one of those.
Yeah.
I think
that's
more interesting. I think I'm going to roll vengeful.
Ooh.
Sakara,
interesting.
What are you choosing?
I'm
going
to roll I'm exceedingly merciful. I'm famously merciful.
Oh, okay.
But I think that would, I mean, the way I see it, it's like merciful as opposed to cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like that wouldn't necessarily apply to whether I'm going to fight this person as a result of what he's doing. It would be like what my judgment of him would be if I won. So I'm going to do forgiving. See if which is quick. Okay, so I fail. Okay, I fail at both forgiving and vengeful.
Mm-hmm. So you can choose which one you would like to do. While you're thinking about that, Sir Quigan, did you make a choice? You snapped in cruel, I guess? Or?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess I have to roll cruel. That's Quigan.
You don't have to. You can choose any of the four.
Yeah, I'm just... I'm trying
That's
to think about how...
That's his strongest trait.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about how he feels about it. I mean, I think that he's impressed... I would be, you're saying from what I'm seeing, I would be impressed with the swordsmanship of Nicholas/Arthur.
Mm.
He's like deftly and easily defending himself from this bandit, right?
Yes. I mean, he's very light on his feet because he's just wearing rags, whereas at least Barnabas is armored up. But Barnabas is also attacking very recklessly and angrily at this, you know, this teenage kid.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to roll cruel, but I'm going to interpret it in a way that I want here. And I succeed on cruel.
Okay, so did anyone else succeed on cruel or vengeful?
I succeed. I rolled a 4 under 10 for vengeful.
Okay, so my thought, and you can obviously tell me if your character might feel differently, but those of you who feel succeeded cruel would probably be encouraging Nicholas to, you know, continue teasing this guy, or just, you know, just to end the whole thing already, you know.
Yeah,
make it the first blood.
That's on exactly
you,
what I
and those you sorry and those you just did anyone succeed forgiving or merciful?
I did. I succeeded in merciful.
Would probably then means that you're actually encouraging Barnabas to surrender.
Yes.
Anyway,
so.
But if anyone wants to put their own spin on their how they think their character might interpret this, please sound off.
I think for Sophina, if she, and she does believe that this this Nicholas is actually indeed the king, her devotion to, in both deity and her homage to her lord, she would immediately want to be in service of the king, and so she would absolutely be vengeful towards Barnabas in this.
And what does Sophina do or say to demonstrate this, that Arthur might see? Because how you all act here is like Arthur/Barnabas may make a choice based on how you all, what you all do or say to encourage them.
Would Sophina be able to like draw her sword maybe?
Yeah.
At this? I think that's what she does. And, I don't know. Like, just do I just go in and attack? Yeah, fuck it.
You want to attack it?
It's the finale. Let's do it.
Okay, that's right.
Okay. so it, drawing her sword, she will just stampede towards Barnabas. And would I be able to using a passion?
Yeah.
Use that for my role here.
Yeah, which passion would you like to draw upon?
I think it would be homage because, you know, even her homage to her lord would mean she would obviously have homage to her king.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see if you pass that passion roll first.
Okay. I rolled an 18 on 18.
Oh, you crit.
I've never crit before in this game.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you obviously you check your homage box if it's not already checked, and you're going to get plus
checked now.
You're going to get plus 10 to the skill of your choice, which I assume is going to be sword.
Sword, which means I have to roll under a 21.
actually, it's going to be 26 because you're going to get an additional plus 5 because Barnabas is unaware of you.
All right,
he is,
cool.
Wow.
So the way that works is that. 14 or higher is a crit?
Correct, yeah.
My God.
God. Sorry, it landed cocked and I can't.
Reroll. It's cocked. Reroll it.
Sorry,
reroll
sorry.
It. Yeah.
Cocked die.
I rolled a one.
Oh, okay. That's right. Not a crit.
Okay. Not a crit. Yeah.
No. Can you just roll the damage of your sword, please?
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
What is the damage of my sword? Why isn't it listed on here?
It should be there. If anyone else has a sword, you can read it with the
damage.
Yeah,
that should be
46. Okay. Yeah. That seems right. I'm like, why is it not on there? Okay.
I'm not sure if there's a bonus for your strength, though.
I think probably only no, if you're doing it
two-handed, if that even
exists. Oh, weapon damage. My weapon damage is 5d6.
Okay,
oh,
there'll be 5d6 total
there.
Then.
Yeah. All right. I have to get one more. I'll just reroll one because I only have 4 on me.
Okay.
All right. It's 12. 19.
19. All right. Minus 10 for his armor will be 9. Just take a note of that because we're going to go around the table and just get everyone else's responses, which, you know, maybe before you leap up and attack this guy. Sakaradoc, with your success, what does Sakaradoc do in this moment?
I did get a success on Merciful.
Mm.
So he's going, I think he's just going to try to get Barnabas to throw down his weapons. He says, kneel before your king. What is wrong with you? You'll lose your life. Like, he's just trying. You're trying to stop this fight. This is the pointless loss of life. So he's trying to.
Dame Safina.
Or Fiona.
Dame Fiona, even. Yes, that's the last time, everybody.
That's all right.
Last time it'll ever
happen.
I have
called myself Safina before, so it's okay. Yeah. Yeah, I succeeded on my Merciful, so I think I'm continuing kind of the line of thought that I had a moment ago with him. Just, Barnabas, just surrender. Look, if you surrender to him and he becomes your king, he might offer you a pardon. You can restart your life the way you were wanting to. No one needs to know you're with King Lot, but you can only get that pardon if you surrender to him now. Just surrender, Barnabas. It's the right thing.
Sir Quigan?
Seeing Dame Sophina draw her sword and go after this guy, I think that he's just disgusted with these guys in the first place and always was, and so I think he'll stand up and he'll just basically spit at them and he'll stand, draw his sword and say, "You filthy brigands, you have no right to fight the king. Do as you're told, or we'll cut down every one of you." And he'll start moving toward, like, one of the henchmen.
Okay.
And, like, in an intimidating fashion, even though he's 5'2".
Yeah. they are still clearly intimidated, but Arthur, still sort of, you know, dodging and ducking and weaving away from Barnabas' sword swings, sees over Barnabas' shoulder, and his eyes go wide as Dame Safina approaches and drives her sword up into Barnabas's back, and the bandit stops immediately. He drops his sword and coughs, and he falls forward, clutching at his side where your sword has pierced his leather armor, like down around his back, like near his kidney, like that. And he stoops and he falls to his hands and knees. And the bandits are all around have just got their hands up. They've dropped their swords and watching. But Arthur is looking at Dame Safina with shock on his face.
Did I do good?
he was going to, you know, Barnabas. I thought it was to surrender. And he's coughing up blood. Oh no.
Yeah. She, like, withdraw her sword.
Is anyone here a chirurgeon?
A chirurgeon!
Leeches! We need leeches!
Meanwhile, can you do any healing?
As she's still tied to a tree and just has a wry smile on her face.
Right, I could try first aid.
I mean, I have 6-inch chirurgery.
We're in surgery, ship. You can give
it. I might owe him one.
Please help him, help him. And he sheathes his sword as well. And he falls to his knees beside Barnabas to try and put pressure on the wound.
Blood
spills out between his fingers.
I mean, I could try.
I have an 8 in first aid. It's barely better.
I rolled a 1 under 6 for chirurgery.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. I think it would have been a first aid roll, but it was the same result either way. So you rolled a one, so you would have passed that too. Can you roll a, I think it's a D3, please, Safina?
A D3?
I think so. I might be thinking of RuneQuest. Oh, no, he just heals his hit point.
Healing rate.
Yeah. So you managed to stifle the blood, but he's lying on his back. He's like, "What? Why did you stab me in the back? What? I was fighting an honorable duel."
He's the king.
And Arthur still shocked.
Wanted to fight to the death last episode. It was only until Fiona said was the only one that wanted to.
We agreed.
Well, you did say you would fight me to the death. Let's be honest. Let's you did say, even when I said, let's not fight to the death, you said, I will fight to the death. You did say that to me. You but did I'm say glad that. You've had a change of heart now.
And Arthur stands, there's blood on his hands, and he sort of just looks at the blood on his hands a few moments. All the bandits still around, still making sure that Sir Quegan doesn't come for them like Dame Safina came for Barnabas. And, Arthur lowers his hands and looks about. He says, I demand that all of you return to the people of Montacute all that you stow. And the bandits, they nod fervently, like, yes, you know. And you must immediately turn over your weapons, although many of them have already dropped their swords and spears. They sort of kick them towards Sir Quegan, looking to Sir Quegan as if like, yeah, that's cool, right? We've done that. You acknowledge that.
Yes. Send them all this way. And he'll sheathe his sword. Shunk. But I'm watching you.
All of you, Arthur says. You must now travel to Montacute and surrender yourselves to Maurice and Lady Gwenhilt. Go now. And he looks down at Barnabas. You too, if you can stand. Puts his hand
up. Well, you got a bunch of friends. Aren't they all going?
They're all starting to.
In my immense mercy, I walk over.
Yeah.
And I'm pushing my magnificent robe aside. And
yeah.
I pull him up.
Pull him to his feet.
I cradle him like the Pietà.
Yeah.
Looking up to my God.
Yeah.
Have mercy. Have mercy upon this poor, deluded man.
Yeah. Thank you for cradling me.
And he turns. You want us just to return to Montacute and surrender ourselves. Is that correct? And Arthur says, yes, I think that is best. Go and do that now. Well, they all sort of just look at each other and...
Do we need to escort them there?
Arthur looks at Fiona, then looks back to Barnabas. I don't know. Do we need to escort you there? Barnabas shakes his head.
No, we will go and surrender ourselves. You have our word.
But the bandits are nodding, like, yes.
Right.
We've left our weapons, everything. We could not hurt anyone if we tried. And I might be bleeding to death. I'm not sure.
Good. I'm sure they
better hurry up then.
Provide you with more treatment.
They begin. They're still kind of uncertain, but they start walking away. Like, is this cool? Everyone's all right. Everyone's cool with this. And they start wandering away from the camp. To be fair, in the direction of Montacute.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right.
Well, yeah.
This will find out. We also have a situation of Nimue.
Yes, please. Somebody unsheathe the woman.
I know her from before. Let me, and I walk over, and I cut her bonds.
Okay, yes, and she stands up and comes her wrists.
Well, thank you, Sir Caradoc. It's good to see you again. Shame not under different circumstances.
I almost embarrassed, but I wrote a poem about you during our time apart.
Oh. Would you care to recite it?
I don't have it with me. I was just telling you. I wrote
it. Okay. All right.
Well, that's very good. Thank you. And she taps you on the shoulder and begins to walk away. And Arthur, you know, is still, you know, he takes the hem of his rags and, you know, wipes the blood away. As well, I suppose that's all taken care of then, isn't it, fair knights?
Quigan is going to, like, rush over to him once the bandits are clear of their weapons and he's kind of got them in, like, a pile. He's going to just look so strangely at this guy. What? And he's going to move over toward him, and he's going to kneel down in front of him, and without just looking at his feet, he's just going to sort of fumble around a bit and say, Your Grace, I beg your forgiveness. I was indeed... I am very naturally a suspicious person, and I don't... when I see strangers on the road, I rather assume that they have the worst intentions in mind. And I do this in the utmost service of His Majesty and all of His Majesty's lords, so that the lands may stay safe for those who mean to serve you.
Sir Quigan, it's quite all right. You did what you thought was right, and that's all that I ever ask of anybody. So rise.
And he'll, like, unsteadily, like, start to rise up. And then still look up at the king once he's fully standing and say, Thank you for your mercy, Your Grace.
You'll have to forgive me, a king. Why are you out here in rags? If you are the king, which I'm not saying I don't believe. I am more trusting than suspicious just by nature, but why are you dressed this way and telling us your name is Nicholas? And were you actually meeting someone out here? Please,
Arthur,
please tell us.
Arthur opens his mouth to reply, but Nimue, who is kneeling, sort of squatting by the fire, warming her hands now that they've been freed and trying to get the circulation, just says, "Waiting for the wizard." And Arthur just turns and looks. Another one of Merlin's blasted little lessons, I suppose. We're supposed to be incognito, you know. Vain attempt to remind me, you know, of my roots, I suppose, come out here. But then he's been waiting for him for days. He hasn't shown up. I told you his name was Gregor because I didn't think I should mention, you know, I realized if I said Merlin, you would have been like, yeah, sure. And then would have gutted me.
We know Merlin.
really? You do?
Yes. Yes. He talks to me in my dreams sometimes.
No way, me too.
No, really?
Yes. Sometimes it's quite frightening.
Yes.
Because sometimes I think I'm awake, but I'm not.
But you're not. Yeah. Yes, I have had that experience. And sometimes he is a kind of a horrid little jester type guy named Snoopy Winkles to us. I don't know if he ever plays that character with you.
What the fuck are you talking about?
He sometimes disguises himself as Snoopy Winkles.
No, that must be like a Montacute thing. Oh. I don't know.
He may not do that to you, but he does it to us.
Yes, that's how we've seen him before. Your Grace, I'm sorry, but what? Why are you even unaccompanied?
Well, you know, I'd pose more danger if I were dressed in my blue and gold, I suppose. But if I came out here in rags, no one was going to really stop me. I wasn't supposed to be disaccompanied for so long, but... Merlin hasn't shown up yet, and then the Nimue from the fire says, I know where the wizard is.
Oh, where is he, Nimue?
You said he's been delayed for some days, longer than you were expecting.
Like I told you, I was not lying about anything except for my name and his name when I met you on that hillock. I've been waiting. He was supposed to meet me some days ago on that spot, he told me. And that's probably why it sounded so fanciful and silly. You know, I realized how it sounded. But, you know, if you've met Merlin, you know that sometimes he's a bit, you know, meet me on the hill on the outside waters. You know what he's like. And, you know, so that's what I tried to do. But so he looks at...
Well, then where is he? Quigan will call to Nimue.
Nimue stands, you know, having warmed her hands. And she says, I can take you to him. And she just begins to walk through the forest. And Arthur sort of...
No.
Well, I better go.
Should we all go?
Well, I was going to say, if you've got nothing else on, but, you know,
you'd be more welcome to go with you. Yes.
It would be a great honor.
Yes, indeed.
You
I
cannot
agree.
Travel alone, Gracie.
No,
but truly, you
well,
must
I would
accompany
be with
us.
The sorceress, but you know, I've got my sword, I suppose. He looks at his bloodied hands and just.
Your Grace, please, and he will like start unbuckling his sword in its scabbard from his belt, and he'll say, "This is my family sword. You may use it for as long as you need, Your Grace."
Oh no,
please! I urge you to
you
take it.
You should double wield and take my sword as well.
No, please.
Yes, I take both of our swords.
Two-handed can be an immense advantage in some sense.
I am not even old enough to be a knight. I'm sure all of you are much better with your sword play than I. I'm okay.
That's so right. Modest. Our modest king.
It's okay. But no, if you'd like to join me, I would love to walk with you all on the road. Yes. Sorry, and Nimue, yes. He turns around, is already like 40
and we must
feet
catch
away.
Up, probably.
Yes, sorry. Let's just go
well,
over.
I wouldn't mind the extra time with Nimue myself as well, so.
Okay, well then, I suppose. Walk with me, and we'll follow the sorceress.
As you say,
yes, that's all right.
Yes,
and we'll find out what befalls them shortly after this break.
Oh my God, right. We're adventuring with King
We're
Arthur.
With King Arthur. I think it's really him.
I think it might. Be.
I mean, I really hope it is because I'm going to look stupid.
I'm really, really dumb.
Nimue would have told us if it
Seriously,
wasn't.
Is my hope. Merlin this entire time?
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Summer. The kids are home, and after a long hot day, you just want to relax with the show that everyone's talking about. So flex your EE TV to include Netflix. Cool down with chilling thrillers like I Will Find You, or laugh along with brand new comedies including The Hawk. Because when you flex your EE TV to include Netflix, you can watch your way and catch all the summer hits. It's TV with the ultimate flex.
EE TV requires EE broadband. 24-month contracts. Content may vary. Terms apply.
Let Abercrombie handle summer with key pieces made for days that don't slow down. Their linen blend Henleys and woven shirts are easy layers that work from daytime plans straight into nights out. And for everything in between, everyday shorts and relaxed denim keep outfits feeling easy but still refined. Shop Abercrombie in the app, online, and in stores.
Welcome back to Pendragon Under an Iron Sky, a wise young man, comma, part two, dash, get more Pendragon at chaosium.com using code PENCANON3 for 15% off. That includes the magnum opus edition of the core rulebook that Skid is currently holding up.
It's so
and,
lovely.
Includes,
gorgeous.
I'm trying to talk about what it includes. Anything in the Pendragon line, you can do it. And that's the best way for everybody watching this to encourage Chaosium to basically do more of these probably next year, because we've got a bunch of Pendragon stuff that's coming out. So we return. So our nights, the evening is upon you, and only a little light remains cast over the horizon, and soon you'll be left darkling. Neither Nimue nor Arthur have horses, but she leads the way and he follows, smiling as he goes, gesturing for you all to follow them along. The path leads you further through Mortis Forest, perhaps the furthest west some of you have ever been.
Ooh. I've never been this far west before.
I don't like it.
I
want to go back.
It's Nimue.
Too close to Ireland.
I will walk up closer
too close
to Nimue.
To the Welsh.
I think we are Welsh, technically. I don't know. I don't know the history of all of it. Nimue,
Yes, what?
Oh, you seem annoyed.
I'm not annoyed. I'm just focusing on where we're going.
Oh, do you need to focus to know how to get there?
A little. Are you going to ask me about your dagger?
Yes! How did you know? It's because you're magic.
Yes. Whatever. Yes, go on.
Oh, it's just that when you gave it to me, look, it felt like I was being, like, chosen for something, do you know? And that was really nice because at the time, you know, my friends had become knights and I hadn't quite been able to do it yet. So I was just a squire and it made me feel like I could be a knight. And so, one, thank you for that. And two, I've been going around thinking, like, there is something magical about this and maybe it does mean something, but perhaps that's just the fanciful flight of a child that isn't becoming of, you know, someone who's a mother now, and I don't know. I guess I don't know why I'm saying all of this to you.
Yes, Dame Fiona, it's a dagger. A dagger is whatever you take with you. Do you know what is real and what is magic, Dame Fiona? Do you understand?
I don't think I do. Sometimes I think there's magic, and then it seems like it was just a word we haven't come up with yet that might sound something like science, but I don't know because I don't think that's been invented yet. So I don't... I do think magic
is real.
She
puts her finger over your lips as she walks.
Whoa.
And she looks at you in the eye, and she stops, which stops the whole convoy. Everyone's like, what the fuck's going on? And she looks at you and says... Reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, no longer exists. And she turns and begins to walk again, and the convoy continues.
My dagger is magic. It is magic.
While all this was happening, like at the same time, back with the other group, Dame Serafina is like, so how much magic can there exist in terms of Christianity before we have to start burning things and seeing if things float in water or drown, do you think?
This is why I was trying to ask Professor Dorsey Armstrong.
Yeah,
this is exactly like what I wanted to talk to her about. It. She never got back.
Maybe you could call her office.
I should just start pestering her in her workplace. I think she'd love that.
Well, that's better than pestering her at her home, which is the next step if she doesn't get back to you from the workplace.
I guess I'll change my tech.
Exactly, update it. Night has taken the land by the time you exit on the western edge of Mortis Forest. It's a calm and cloudless night, and the autumn chill is subtle but ever present. You walk across the green hills and the vast open land. Nimue never once looks back. After about an hour, you come to a beatific body of water and the crescent moon is reflecting silver on its unmoving surface. The sorceress turns her face to the sky, looking upon the stars, and she looks to you, sighs and says, "We will rest here tonight." And with that, she just plants herself cross-legged on the ground. Arthur looks at you all and goes, I don't suppose any of you brought tents or anything, like a big canvas guy with a fur rug.
Oh, we should have taken those.
No,
Your Grace.
I'm joking. I'm joking. Everybody, enjoy yourselves, please. Everyone, just relax.
The care duck starts dancing.
Okay, yes. Right. It is quite cold, though, so perhaps I will fetch some kindling. You all make yourselves comfortable, and I'll set about making a fire, yes?
Are you all right going off by yourself? I know you are just, don't take this in the wrong way, just a boy who happened to now be king, but, and I'm sure you can take care of yourself, but I don't want anything to happen to you. Should I come with you while you gather kindling?
Sir Quigan, are you okay? You look like you've...
Fiona's impertinence. The idea that she could say to him, you're just a boy who became a king.
And I'm trying to appeal to his...
Throw it off like that. He's like, your grace, I'm... I'm so sorry. I'm equally as concerned for your safety as
you must forgive her left-handedness, my king.
I'm sorry, I just have a tendency to just say whatever comes into my head without fully thinking through.
She has no respect for authority or understanding of station, your grace.
That is one not day, perhaps. True, Sir Quegan.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. No, it's fine. I mean, no, you're correct. I'm just a boy who happened to become king. It's all rather silly. Are you left-handed, Fiona?
Yes.
Oh, clearly too. Inside. I don't He's really like, meet anybody what? Else who's also left-handed.
You're left-handed. Oh.
Yes.
No.
It's I put out my left hand to shake his left hand.
Yeah, he shakes your left hand too. Yes.
What am I watching here? What is this?
It's all right. I am more than capable of getting the kindling by myself. He glances at Nimue, who's just sitting cross-legged, staring at the water. But you know, if anyone would like to come, you're more than welcome to help. But otherwise, you know, we set up some bedrolls, some of the horses, I suppose. Just get comfortable. If this is where we're stopping for the night, you know, it'd be good to and I didn't bring any food, of course, but and he starts wandering off just towards the edge of the nearby setting of trees where he might gather some kindling. Anyone who wants to join him is welcome, but otherwise he would in theory have a few moments of somewhat privacy and hushed voices if you want to discuss anything.
I knew we should have brought snacks to the boy king.
We didn't know. Why didn't he bring enough of his own snacks?
Sir Quegan goes off with him.
Okay.
I guess I'll tend to the horses, but they had all of their camp set up. We should have taken something. I mean, they were just headed back to Montacute.
I think we're all just so excited about the presence of Arthur, our king. Took leave of our senses.
I know. Do you think he's cross with me for stabbing that fellow?
He doesn't seem like it.
He is a forgiving king. He is merciful. I am sure that he's looked past your horrendous indiscretion.
Fiona was witness. Barnabas said that he was going to fight to the death. He'd never agreed to the terms.
He did not agree. He absolutely said to me that he did not care what I said. He was going to fight to the death. He did say that.
And so I was only doing what I thought was right.
I think and that's fine. And I think that King Arthur knows that. And he doesn't seem angry to me. I just want to make sure that he doesn't get hurt or killed under our watch. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we were with him when he went into the woods to gather kindling and then suddenly never came back?
Oh, God. Meanwhile, we go over to Sir Quegan, who is in the middle of killing King Arthur so he could assume his identity because they're about the same height.
Drowning him.
I will wear your skin.
Hello, Merlin, it's me, Nicholas. So best take me back to that throne room now. Yes. Where it's are my servants?
It's me, Buffalo Quegan, with my skin suit.
Buffalo Quegan.
Oh, wait.
Anyway, so you're a little a ways, and Arthur is laden with kindling that he's building up and putting it there. Thank you for your help, Sir Quegan. He hands you the pile of kindling.
Not at all, Your Grace. I come not to protect you, obviously. It's obvious by your swordplay that you can defend yourself. I merely come to help share the load. Building and finding the wood for a fire is never easy and always quite tedious, I find.
It's sort of nice to be around nature. I must say, I'm just... I'm lucky I wasn't armored today, because I still haven't learnt all my steps quite well. I can barely actually swing a sword. I am quite able at nimble enough that I was very scared, I must say. It hit me once.
Well, you didn't seem it, Your Grace. You seemed very in control the entire time. I was rather impressed. In fact, it's what led me to believe you. Of course, when you first said it, I was completely unsure. I thought, no offense, Your Grace, I thought you were a madman. But when you when you clearly were trained very well. And so it became quite obvious to me that a person wearing what you were wearing could not have executed swordplay quite so well had they not been trained in a rather rigorous regiment.
One of his many lessons is that a king must project kingliness regardless of how they feel at all times. Here you are, some more wood.
Yes, thank you. Your Grace, No, please, Your Grace, please, no. I should not have spoken.
No, you can speak, Sir Gwegan. You're a free man. You can say what you like.
I simply wish only to so briefly continue the similar questions that Fiona had posed. I'm sorry, I just don't understand how can the king exactly go missing for so long? Are your people not concerned?
Well, it's only a few days, and my Sir Kay is looking after the Londinium in my stead, and I often travel around, and Merlin has these little things he likes to go off and do, and the court is mostly aware of it.
So they simply think you are off on a hunt or some such.
Yes, something like, I'm not sure what, I must say, Sir Quigan, you don't take this the wrong way, but you've the look of a man who has done things that no man should. I cannot help but wonder, if you don't mind my asking, how did you lose your eye?
That is a very rude question, King Arthur.
Shut up, King.
Sorry, Your
Grace. If you
Grace,
had parents, you had been taught not to ask people about how they lost their body parts.
Yes. I'm sorry, Your Grace. I don't quite understand what you mean, but as it pertains to my eye, and he's going to think for a moment to be deceitful to the king, as he has with everyone else. So I was jumped on the road. I was robbed, stabbed, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to change tack here because he's been shocked and surprised so far about how close the relationship is with Merlin, who he knows to be a pagan and sort of a druidic sort of figure. He is also left-handed. What? And he's walking around in peasant's clothes, connecting with nature. This seems like he might be aware of and believe in some of the things that Quigan has seen and maybe not think Quigan's such a madman. So he pauses for a moment and says, I fell afoul of a band of, he looks sheepish, fairies, Your Grace. Fairies in the wood that rather captured me when I was when I was weak, and I was unable to escape their clutches without the loss of an eye. I am grateful that this is all that I have lost. I'm sorry, does that sound mad to you?
No, no, Sir Gwegan, that is truly awful. I'm very sorry that happened to you. And it's just, and he glances over to, the other knights who are still talking amongst one another near Nimue, and he looks back to you and he lowers his voice. Would I be incorrect in surmising that your companions don't know this story?
No, and I would appreciate your discretion. I believe that some of them probably suspect some such foul play, but I went away for quite some time and simply said that it was bandits on the road. I didn't want to appear to have lost my mind. It is important, my family to me, their stability and their safety, and I feel as if someone of my rank who would appear to be losing his mind and talking of fairies could very well have what they have managed to scrape together taken away from them.
Yes, well, No, I understand. I don't think you need to fear that. And he's now laden with quite a lot of firewood, and he turns, getting ready to walk back toward camp. And he says, "Well, I suppose all I would say, Sir Quegan, you know, is that trust who you trust, and just have faith that people will see you who you are." And well, Merlin once said to me, you know, it's important that when we become scarred, that we don't let those scars become scars on our soul. So I would just, I suppose, say the same thing to you. Anyway, let's go set a fire. It is very cold. And he begins to walk back toward everybody.
Thank you, Your Grace. You are most wise. And I will follow behind.
Yes. And he return and they dump the wood. He just drops it all there and he stands with his hands on his hips and says, "Well, there we are. Anyway, I had a light of fire."
Please allow me, my lord. Grace. I don't even know if I'm good at this, and I think it would be funny if he fucks it up, but I would love to roll something. I'm looking for survival. Isn't there a survival? I guess there isn't.
Courtesy it might be under hunting. I would say.
I feel like hunting because it's like wilderness stuff. I could see it being hunting.
Yeah, I could see that. All right. So if you want to make that the skill, I'll take care of it, and then we'll see if he embarrasses himself. He'll start putting the wood together and building the pile of
interesting. Sir Quegan, normally your squire does this for you.
He shoots her like a glance. Yes, normally, but we don't have that option, do we, Fiona?
No, and how's it going?
All the wood fumbles up to the ground. He had been building like a pyramid, and it just like, blah, 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 like comes on over, and he's like, "Oh, no, no, there it is, there it is." And then he starts to like flint and steel it up, and then it's just not catching.
Did you fail or did you fumble?
I failed.
Okay.
Your Grace, I believe it is quite wet. Still working on it.
It's all right. No, take your time. And he keeps glancing at Dame Safina and then looking down at the palms of his hands as this is all happening.
I would like to apologize, Your Grace, for my... I was merely trying to... you see, he did say, I believe you heard him, that he was going to fight to the death, and I could not allow that to happen.
No, I'll admit it. I was shocked. I thought he probably would surrender, but I suppose in the end he did surrender, possibly due to your actions. So if anything, Dame Safina, while I was perturbed, I shall say, I thought about it on the road and I realized that I actually should thank you, because you did what you thought was right, and it's, for all I know, God's plan would have been that Barnabas struck me down had someone not intervened. Maybe he was never going to surrender to me.
Yes, right. Exactly, is what I was thinking. I'll have you know, I have a 17 in spiritual. I'm usually a very good person.
Well, show him your ID. Prove it.
I sometimes second guess God's plan for me.
Why is that? Forgive me for asking.
Dame Safina, but how do you keep your faith in times of doubt, Dame Safina?
Well, I mean, I like to think that life has its ups and downs, and there are times that we are tested, and that we need to have faith in not only in ourselves and in our Lord, but in the people who we choose to surround ourselves with our family, with our friends. As knights, we have to be courageous, and courage is not the lack of fear, but acting despite of it. So I like to think that even in times where we are tested in our faith, we need to act faithful in spite of those times of doubt.
Yes, you're right. I suppose god, he doesn't wait to test you on your best day when everything's going well. I suppose he waits until you're in the lion's den. He waits until Goliath stands before you, you know, doesn't he? Just, you know, I suppose we could all be sitting there having a nice hearty meal with friends in front of a fire and be like, why don't you test my faith now, God? Everything's going well. I suppose that's what I've got to remember, is just be faithful despite it all. Is that?
I mean,
is that what you're saying?
I mean, there are times in which I feel like that doubt is truly doubt within ourselves.
All right.
Well, you know.
How's that fire coming, Sir Quigan? It is quite cold. Someone else want to help him?
Oh, no, he's fine. He'll get it.
He knows what he's doing.
Yes. Right?
Can I invoke a passion to light this fire?
Yeah, you can. Which passion would you like to use?
Don't run off into the woods again.
I would like to invoke the passion of my lord. Homage to my lord.
Okay, which is what?
Or no, don't actually.
Do it off your honor.
Oh, hey, that's a real mean thing to say. Let's do. Yeah, I'm just trying to think here what makes the most sense. Either homage to my lord or hospitality?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about your hospitality? Yeah. Is that
okay? It's not as high. It would be a risk, but I think it makes more sense, right? Hospitality?
Sure.
Yeah.
He's just trying to look good.
Mm-hmm. What is your hospitality?
13.
Okay. All right. That's better than 50%. Go on.
Yeah. A little better than 50%. Let's see. Ooh, natural 2.
Oh,
so success.
Nice. So you get +5 to your hunting. Yeah.
+5 to my hunting, which brings it up to a 10. So here we go. Let's see. Critical!
Oh my
10
god!
10 out of 10! Hey.
The whole forest catches fire.
Yeah. Concentrated
explosion.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, just a little bit more time with it, and he makes and the perfect
jet of flame. Oh, and everyone can sit down, rub their hands together, and warm them. Nimue continues to just sit with her back to all of you, just motionless like a freak. But anyway, Arthur.
Like a freak. Arthur, I spit on her.
Arthur sits down into the fire. Ah, yes, that's good.
Your grace.
I've buttered the heel of bread and a bit of cheese, but it should be enough to go around if everyone take a little bite. And
that's very generous.
And he hands it to Sir Caradoc next.
As our lord dispensed loaves and fishes to the poor, so you bring food to us, your grace.
Yes, it's not very good, though. It's a few days old at this point. Sorry, Dame
Tis
Fiona.
Like manna from heaven, my lord.
Caradoc.
Sir Caradoc is a bit of a fanboy.
Take it down a notch, please.
I'm sorry. Little emotional, your grace. I've dreamt of this day.
I thought the unicorns were going to be our shining moment.
Well, unicorns were very cool. I do
just think it's important to remind you all that I'm just, you know, especially here, in modest clothing with no crown. I just, you know, everyone can relax. Sorry, Dame Fiona, you were going to ask me something?
No, I was going to say something, but what I'll say right now is I feel that you feel weight on yourself. It must be difficult to have such a life change, to go from, forgive me, but nothing and no one, to suddenly a king. I imagine there's quite a lot of pressure, so why don't we all here at 5 nights sat around a fire, all equals together. You don't have to worry about being in charge or being right. You know, maybe that will help. I don't know.
Or perhaps a bit of distraction. Maybe a story. Maybe a... How would that be, Your Grace?
Sure. Yeah, go on. Tell us a story. Let's see what stories I have to hear.
Wow. Anyone
want a story? Anybody?
Vibes.
You tell a story.
And I would like to try. I would like to try to roll orate in order to tell just a silly and kind of funny story about
jasper, like something my son did, that is like just light and funny and brings a laugh. That's
okay.
Because he feels like all the conversation has been so weighty.
Yeah.
And so heavy, so, and that this kid is just not into it.
Make an all right roll, and while you're doing that, everybody else can consider that Quigan is being...
Doing a tight five.
When was the last time Quigan just told a funny story to everybody? You know, this seems
about
like...
the last time I saw him build his own fire.
Who is this funny Sir Quigan?
Turning on the charm. Leech, look, I dropped the die.
What do you need for aura? What is your aura?
Sign.
Oh my god, I rolled a 12 on a 12.
Wow.
What? Right.
And what tale do you regale everybody with?
I just summarized it. I don't know the details of it, but just a funny story about his kids. His kid, Jasper, his son, and something that makes him seem precocious and silly while they were sword play, and just something to make everybody laugh.
Well, everybody enjoys it. Make sure to check those boxes too if you haven't. Everyone has a good laugh, including Arthur. And he's clapping and he's laughing, and maybe one of you even sees the Nimue's shoulders jump up and down. With
man, you killed.
Yeah, you killed. Yeah,
crushed.
You should go on tour with a story like that. That's good. I know. It reminds me of being a young lad, and you know, well, of course, didn't know my father, but you know, you're just having all kinds of fun, and things are much more. much more carefree, I suppose. You don't think about things like, you know, the realm being shattered and you having to reunite it. I mean, Caradoc, what? Tell me, what would you do?
What would I do, Your Grace?
What would you do? The realm is shattered. They're supposed to, and then say I'm picture me like with a pointy hat and a big white beard, and I'm really ugly and old, and I come up to you and I say, you there. You who've never done anything like this before, you have to unite all of Britain under one banner. What you? I say that, you say what?
Oh, I suppose I. And he starts to panic, like he's sweating, and he just fiddles in his pocket for something. Your Grace, I'm sorry. I have long dreamed of being aghast at such a thing by you, I am overcome. And he pulls out and says, when I cannot find the words, I find comfort in this. And he whips out his knob.
Mm-hmm.
He says, as you can see, I have polished it over and over again.
Yes.
I started when I was a boy, younger than you, Your Grace. I began polishing it. And you can see. Look at it, Your Grace. Look.
Yes, now I can see.
I hold it now in my hand. Look at it.
I know. I can see it's glistening in the moonlight.
I shall not polish it now. Not in front of you, Your Grace. But trust me, I have done it often.
Yes. Merlin has many of those hanging from his at the end of his staff, he's got a whole bunch of them. It's just yours looks like newer than his. A lot of the leather holding his seems to have lost its elasticity, but yours looks good.
No, yeah, mine is strong. Still quite rigid, Your Grace.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, that's...
You may be surprised to learn that this very knob was a gift from Merlin himself to my father.
No, because that's what he does. He goes around and he says, you have this and you have that. And everyone's like, Anyway.
How is polishing a knob? I'm sorry. How is polishing a knob supposed to unite the realm?
Oh, right. Well, And he sort of turns his back and just starts furiously polishing his knob.
No, away from the others.
And he pockets it and he turns around with a renewed confidence. Your Grace, I would approach the petty kings that surround you, each in their turn. I would learn who among them has rivalries
or grudges against the others and play them against one another. Find allies that will help you to defeat those who will not come to heal. This is what I would do, Your Grace. Wow. I would exploit those divisions that exist in those that would oppose you.
Well, I mean, Your Grace. It would seem that we went to the same school then, because that's, I guess, just what's happening. But yes, sorry. Yes, Dimps of Dysphina. Yeah.
May I suggest universal health care and livable wage?
Oh, yes. Universal basic income.
This is sheer fantasy.
Yes. May I suggest magic?
Yes, of course, magic would be good too. But don't forget, Your Grace, that you have knights, don't you, to help you do things. I mean,
knights.
Lord Robert of Salisbury, our lord, doesn't just go out and do everything himself. We do those things for him. So
where's your squad?
You have people who can help you, right? It's just
no, sorry, I should ask all four of you. Could you please quickly unite the realm for me? And when it's done, just let me know, and I'll sweep in and take all the glory. Is that what you think that I should do, Dame Fiona?
Well, I think that's a bit reductive, if I'm honest. You know, yeah. I understand that you're frustrated, but let's
not. Sorry. I'm not trying to be frustrated. Sorry, I'm not. He looks at everybody. I'm not frustrated.
It's okay if you are. I understand.
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not. I mean, right. Maybe it's easy for you to say, Dame Fiona. Like, you know, you've a bit like Sir Quiggin. You have the look of a woman who's seen things others have not. What is it you were whispering about with he gestures with his head to Nimue on the road? What?
Oh, it's silly. Everyone else was a knight, and I was still a squire. I used to be Dame Safina's squire, and I thought, well, I'm not very good, am I? You know, I can't even be a knight at the same time as all of my friends, and then we met Nimue, and no one could understand what was going on, but I saw something, and this is dagger, and I'll pull out the dagger, and it was for me, and I felt, I'm a chosen one with this dagger, and it's magical, but it hasn't been magical, and I'm not chosen, and so I was just asking Nimue, am I an idiot for even ever thinking it?
No, that's maybe I should ask her the same thing. I mean, nothing's... Well,
she told me, and I think I have this right, that things are magic as long as you believe they are. And if you stop believing that they're magic, they're not magic anymore? I don't know. I have the same questions as you. I'm not that much older than you.
It's just, no, you're not. That's kind of like, he looks around at the darknesses already. I think for now, you know, despite anything else, right now it's just a group of people around a fire sharing a half apple.
Yes.
Would anyone like a bite of the half apple?
I would be honored, Your Grace, please.
Yes, you keep at it, Sakata. Did you pass the bread and cheese around to everybody, or did you think I was giving it?
I thought the bread and cheese was just for me, Your Grace. I'm sorry. I'm afraid I've eaten it all.
Well, that's okay, isn't it? Everybody else, we'll be okay. We can eat something tomorrow. We'll eat something tomorrow. Oh, God. Just nothing has made sense. Nothing has made sense. Not since I drew the blasted sword. And I'm what now? King, they tell me. They just tell me, you know?
Forgive me, Your Grace, but it seems that you are somewhat ill at ease with your position.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you're all knights of low station, so I can say whatever I like. It's just, you know the winter after I was crowned, Merlin took me to this ring of stones outside of Salisbury, and as this beating storm like no other I'd ever seen rained down on us, he screamed and he screamed at me. And he told me over and over how the sword from out that anvil restored to the world a power that had long lain dormant. I remember those words exactly. He kept saying over. He did tell me that the power that resurrected gods and woke spirits and woke fairies. He told me that so long as I drew breath, me, the guy here sitting before you, as long as I drew breath, that power would remain in the world. To a 13-year-old boy, he said this. What does one even do with that? Do you see?
That is an extraordinary amount of pressure.
I can see how that could be very stressful, yes.
He stands up and he just stretches. He sort of begins to pace back and forth by the fire.
Your Grace, if I may, your concerns, they are... I feel it as a lowly knight, as you say, of a small household. The pressures to oversee such a small thing. The realm itself, unimaginable. And also, I believe that it cannot be done alone. That you cannot put all that weight on yourself. And that it cannot be rushed.
No.
You must take your time, and you must surround yourself with those you trust. Those who can and will execute what you feel is right. I mean, only being with you for a day, I can tell you're full of wisdom. Wisdom beyond your years.
Execute what I feel is right, and execute those who would defy me. Is that what you're going to say, Sir Quegan? Like, just because you say, I can't do it all by myself. And, you know, I have to trust people, and I have to have knights, and I have to have soldiers. I have to have war machines, because now we march to war. You know, first it was Lot, and then it was Gore, and all the others since. And apparently there are more to follow, and some bow, and others spit, and they choose death. And what death? My brave knights, what death have you seen?
You know? I'd forgotten how angsty teenagers are, my God.
No, indeed, Your Grace, you are right. But listen to yourself.
We've seen
you
death.
Are right. The wisdom is in exactly what you say. They chose death, not you. Though you are the one that gives the order, you are not the one that chose to do so. It is... If they do not wish to rally under a banner of one united Britain, then they should choose death.
He looks to you all.
I don't know that I agree.
Okay, yeah, all right. A dissenting opinion, finally. Fucking hell. Like, what? What should we do instead?
Well, I don't know. Well, I think
maybe the first step.
Well, listen to me for a moment, if you will. Please, you are just, I don't know
what
you want to hear us say, but clearly we haven't said what you want to hear yet, and that's fine. But listen, the first step is not, no, please listen to me. Maybe the first step is, maybe you should look more to these old gods than the new one.
This
is the joke. Perhaps. It's very funny.
She's
very funny, Your Majesty.
Excellent story, Fiona. Excellent story.
Why
put
not?
Put her in a headlock and drag her away.
Dame Fiona, are you distracted by the bread and cheese that Sir Caradoc ate? Were you watching him eat all your bread and cheese, and that's why you weren't paying attention when I said one of the first things Merlin did was take me out to these standing stones and just stood in the fucking rain with me and told me that the old god is going to resurrect all this power.
And he shouted at you.
Yes, and the old gods
are back.
And you're telling me I need to focus more on them. I was baptized a Christian boy.
Thank you. Right?
And then but I have this druid taking, and so what is it that the old gods are doing? Apparently, I'm the conduit for their return.
Sure.
Whence, Dame Fiona, he looks around as if to be like.
Slowly and surely. The power is, we saw a unicorn. We went to a fairy kingdom. We met Oberon. That did not happen
We
for
killed
you,
a giraffe.
Or king.
Oh God! Don't listen to me. I'm sorry. Please continue. I'm sorry.
It is. It's all right, Sir Caradoc. That sorry. Is happening, and it did not happen before you. I don't know the answer. None of us do, right? We don't know. And don't you know. Are unfortunately in a position where you feel like you are supposed to know, and you don't. All I know is the best thing you can do is have people you can talk to like this. Forget Merlin. He's confusing.
I wish
isn't
I
he?
Could forget Merlin.
If I may. God. If I yes. may. I feel like we are focusing too much on the God aspect of this, which yeah, can be right. very overwhelming. And faith is nothing we can prove.
True.
And so perhaps we should focus our energy on what we can do towards how we could unite the people by what incentive is there for the people to be united.
No, that's what I would like to think. But to hear Sir Quigan and most other people tell it, the incentive is... or you get killed, right?
Well, no.
They
got
to do the right thing. Because, no. you know, no, but that's what everyone's telling me. And what right have I to do death, right? What right does any of us, really? I mean, Dame Safina, like, I forgave you and I understand why you did what you did. But what right would have given you to, if you'd killed Barnabas?
Well, that was only right? because it was going to become a danger to your life.
To my life. And what does he have
and
a higher
ours.
Right than me? What right do I have to do that? Is it a divine one? Like no man
well, yes,
be...
yes, you're king.
But no man be beggar or king should have leave to end the life of another. I walk in rags with a rusted blade for fear of my life as a king.
Well,
and yet right now, this is the most free and happy I've felt in years. I'd almost forgotten.
Well, we are knights in service of the Lord, and of our Lord, and to you, and we don't go around taking people's lives just for the sake of it.
This is why, Your Grace, it is becoming so clear to me, even as you speak, why it must be you. Those men you speak of, those who you don't wish to pass judgment upon, and which you claim to not have a right to take their life, they would say the exact opposite. They would say they had the right to take yours in pursuit of their power. It must be you because you don't want it. Don't you see? You don't wish to go out killing those that won't unite us under one banner, but
yes.
you will do what must be done.
He draws that rusty blade, that rusty sword, and he gestures at it. Sir Quigan, you see this? This is nothing but a symbol of my apparent divine and what you would say is important right to do death, because if I do it, nobody else will?
Well,
no.
Is that what you're saying? He stares
Everyone
at the blade
else
as you talk.
Will, and they will delight in it. They will use their power to hurt those that defy them in a way that is not in the pursuit of a united and peaceful kingdom.
But what if you do show mercy the way you did with Barnabas? Perhaps if you give people a reason to want to be united under you, make their lives better, make their lives more interesting. Give them things they didn't have before, then they won't want to fight against you. It won't be so much work. I disagree. Some people now, yes, the way they want to function is, if you don't do what I say, I kill you. I kill you. But you don't function that way. You don't think that way. And I think, as Sir Quigan is saying, that is a good thing. So... if you have a opposing reason, make their lives better.
He continues to pace, and he sort of points his sword towards you. No, not like in an evil way.
Yeah.
No, he's just, no, but I think that's wrong. Like, be honest with me. Who amongst you today thought me a fool, or if not a fool, then at least somewhat unwise or naive, for just letting the bandits go? Who, just be honest with me. It's okay. Who thought that, like, wow, I can't believe he's just letting them walk away? Who thought that?
No, you showed mercy, no. Your Grace. And furthermore, if you, according to what you've been saying, if you see the need for things to operate differently in this realm, you have been blessed with the opportunity to change that.
That's a very good point, Dame Safina.
I thought it was foolish, Your Grace.
Sequegan!
I thought that they would simply take the opportunity to establish a new base of operations elsewhere, to continue robbing people and taking advantage of those that can't protect themselves.
That's exactly right. Of course, I did think about that. But my other option at the time was to kill them or have you order all of you to kill them. And I'm sure you would have done that. But so would that have been okay? What if they do continue to rob and murder people? What then?
Well, what if they don't? And that is the question I came to. I stood there and I thought I would do exactly the opposite. And it made me think, well, let's see what this action results in. Instead of theorizing about what happens, let's see what actually happens. If they all turn themselves into Montacute, and she finds a way to put them to work or make them part of the village, well then, that is a win for you, Your Grace.
It's a win for
a very impressive
everyone.
One, and I will admit that I was wrong. We won't know. You can't know.
No, you can't. None of you can know. I appreciate you all here listening to me rambling in the absence of that old man. And it's just, he continues to look at the sword and then he looks up at the sky. You know, Merlin said that the darkness, you know, makes fools of heroes. It was a, you know, reference to, you know, you wake up, you get scared of the dark, you know, and then the next day you realize the thing that you were scared of in the dark was actually just like a pine tree or something, and you thought it was a person, and you feel like a fool. But I feel not like a hero, so what shall the darkness do to me? let me, in this moment, let me be rid of this death. Let me be rid of this burden. Please, just like, let me just forget it. And in a sweep, he hurls the rusted blade away. It spins end over end and finally plops into the water, sending ripples rolling out, the moon shimmering on the surface. He looks back at you like, ta-da!
It's gone.
It's gone.
You've done it.
There we go. You know, see?
Just into the lake.
Just threw it away.
Just a sword in a lake.
Yeah, it just...
How do you feel?
You know, I feel a... You see, he begins to sit down, and then a voice breaks from behind all of you.
Uh-oh. It's Merlin.
Have I arrived in time to interrupt the tantrum of a petulant boy?
He turned to Merlin.
Oh, now I get it.
He's standing there leaning heavily on his staff. His face is very stern, and you notice immediately Arthur's face changes. Like, all of a sudden, like, his age, if it wasn't already, becomes even more apparent. He's immediately like, you know, if you remember, like, the really obnoxious kid in class who is, like, fooling around, and then as soon as the teacher walks in and he gets caught and he just shrinks down, that's almost exactly what's happened. And Merlin is standing there. He's appeared seemingly out of nowhere, just only a few feet away from the fire where you're all sitting. What do each of you do?
I'll scramble to my feet and stand kind of at attention, looking at, you know, Arthur and Merlin, and just, I'm a little stunned.
Merlin?
Yes?
I think you're being way too harsh.
I'm not being harsh. He has got a great destiny to fulfill, and by golly, if he doesn't, it's not going to be my fault.
Well, you boy, perhaps boy. You are going to force him into failing by pushing him too hard.
Have you tried gentle parenting?
He's not my child. You boy, I will talk with you all in a moment. You boy, go
Go and fetch that sword. Are you fucking kidding me, Mel? It's freezing cold. Go and get that sword now. And Arthur he gets up and he kicks a rock and he turns around and he starts to wait and then starts to walk. Anyway, Merlin sits himself down by the fire and lays his staff across his throat and rubs his hands. Anyway, how are all of you?
Is it necessary to be so hard on him? He's struggling.
My Lord Merlin, I apologize for the lack of cheese and bread. It was my error. I am deeply sorry.
So Caradoc did eat all of it.
I did eat all of it. I did not anticipate your arrival.
That's all right. I brought some of my own. And he takes out from under his thing and he's got this big long log of bread and cheese and he peers off. Now everybody but Sir Caradoc's already eaten, doesn't it?
So here you are.
Yes, of course he has. Yes. No. And he's going, it's fresh bread and like a rich, creamy brie too. Like, way better than the bread and cheese you
far
filled up on.
Superior to the
And he hands
crust.
That around.
But I... Well, all right.
Yeah, and Arthur, who's like thigh deep in the freezing water, turns back to shout at the cap. I cannot find it! Don't whine to me! You're not leaving there until you do!
Does he know how to swim?
Then Arthur groans and continues wading through the water, like reaching down, feeling around for it. Does he know how to what?
Does he know how to swim?
Well, he's going to have to if he threw it that deep. Jeez.
Perhaps I should help.
Should we have a rope ready?
We must find that sword, sir.
I really think this is a lesson for the boy. If you go up there, not everyone can help him at all the times. Sir Quegan, how would you, if it's your son who threw away one of his toys and then said he demanded he wanted it back, would you go get it for him or would you tell him to go and find it himself to bear the consequences of its own actions?
Oh, Sir Quegan, he would beat his son mercilessly, no doubt.
Caradoc, certainly would not.
No, he wouldn't. He's an honourable man, and I'm a liar.
No,
sorry.
If it's anywhere how he treats his wife, I don't know.
Perhaps you're right. All right.
I mean, be free if you want to, but I... not how I would raise a child. No.
Well, I'm just very impressed that the boy will listen to you that way. And not wield his power to keep you silent or have you thrown in the dungeons. I think it's a rather, impressive.
Dare.
Yes, I'm finding that in only a day with him, rather remarkable young man.
Yes, well, has he been talking your ear off, I suppose, has he? Complaining
yes,
only
rather,
a little bit of it.
Well, as Fiona implied, he is rather weighted down with the pressure, I feel.
He is filled with doubt, my Lord Merlin.
You have any idea how lucky he is? If he was still a stable boy, he'd probably be dead by now.
Yes, but at least he wouldn't have the weight of the fate of all of our civilization on his shoulders.
Yes. Is that a good thing?
No,
I don't think he... He's obviously destined. This is his destiny. But he still has to deal with his feelings. And then it's a big change. It's a lot to undertake. We are not born with wisdom. It comes with age. He's still a young man.
And as they say, you win more flies with honey than vinegar. Maybe sometimes.
Who says that?
It's a common saying.
It is a pagan saying.
Oh, that's
why. Ignore it.
My mother used to say it.
Ignore it.
Look, when you're sweet to people, you might get more of what you want out of them.
I thought you were trying to catch flies.
Flies? I do.
I assumed your people ate flies.
Yes,
on a regular basis.
No, it makes much more sense.
I mean, just sometimes when you're nice, you get more of what you want.
Why do you speak in riddles?
Well,
Arthur calls back from the left. I swear it's been swallowed to the underhells. I can't find it anywhere. I'm looking. I can't find it. No, you will find it and stop complaining. Don't not another word from you unless it's I found the sword and I'm sorry, Merlin and brave knights, Sir Caradoc, Sir Quegan, Dame Fiona and Dame Sophina. That's the only thing you're going to say, boy.
He knows our names.
Of course he does. I fear this is a toxic relationship.
Nimue is still sitting there. She sighs heavily at this exchange, and she gets to her feet, her arms still crossed, barefoot, obviously. And she just mutters, "I'll help him." And you watch as the sorceress disrobes and lets her clothing fall to the ground. And she steps into the water, apparently just heedless of the cold, and she dives beneath the surface with a mighty splash. And Arthur curses, said, "My hair! It's getting cold." He looks so quick. There, well, were you going to dive in there and look around with her, were you?
Well, I certainly wasn't going to drop all my clothes and dive in, no.
Yes, no, you would have catched a death of cold. That's really, he's a silly boy. He should have taken his clothes off before he went into the freezing water. He's probably going to die of some cold disease now. God, that's just what the realm needs, isn't it?
I could loan him my robe.
That is the most generous thing I have ever heard Sir Caradoc say.
That is astounding. Caradoc, no, you can't hold my robe.
Merlin holds his hand out and he looks directly at you, Sir Caradoc. Caradoc, if you give that robe to any other man, it will mean the death of us all.
You are full of shit, Merlin.
Okay.
Let's tie it back on.
Good, thank you. Yes. But
I'm sorry about the baby who went to the fairyland and now is a grown up, by the way.
Hmm. Well, we didn't know.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
I don't remember.
So many other things going on, just, you know, I'm sure it's fine, Fiona. Whatever it is you think you've done, I forgive you. Is that what you want to hear?
Well, I mean, I guess it is what I wanted to hear, if I'm honest.
I thought that might be the case, but look, you know, this is what you see brave knights like Dame Fiona here and my forgiveness of her. There is a lesson to be learned in all things, don't you think?
Yes, of course.
Things. And what some of you do not know, do not understand, some of you think, or do not, but there is a power in this world that was taken from us.
Yes, the old gods.
The power of combustion engines.
The power of a motorcycle.
The power of love.
That power. He looks at each of you. That power is the divine right of humanity. And he points a crooked finger out toward the lake. And King Arthur will return it to us.
But is it true, Merlin, that when he drew the sword from the anvil, it brought back the fairies? Or were they always there?
I believe they were always there, but they had been forgotten about, their power rescinded by something, I don't know, maybe the Romans, but now in this new age it has been restored. And as long as that boy draw breath, it will be here in this world.
But it is quite evil, Merlin. They are quite horrible creatures. Oh,
yes. Some of them are, but others, no. And the power that resides within them and within the rest of the world that gives them life is something that is truly, truly special.
Does she not need to breathe? Arthur calls out, half in jest. And then the boy stops. He's looking down at the surface of the water directly ahead of him. And upon the reflection of the moon, that spot on the water where the moon reflects, the surface breaks. And two hands, pale, rise side by side. And between them, the pommel of a glittering sword.
It looks quite different.
The hands and the weapon continue to rise, and the moonlight upon the blade is blinding. Arthur steps back in wonder, and a head breaks the surface.
a long, lush head of red hair upon a perfect, dirt-free face. Nimue rises from the water, the sword in all its brightness floating before her. Where her hair was once short and dirty, it is now red and spills long across her body, somehow dry and now waving in this evening breeze. And yet still, she continues to rise. Her legs, her feet, until she hangs suspended between earth and sky, the sword hanging in the air before the boy king.
It is magical.
God be praised.
What has happened, Merlin? What has happened?
Watch, Sir Quigan, watch.
He leans close.
It is a wonder.
And you hear, despite the distance, Nimue speak. Sir Arthur, King, that sword is mine, and if you will give me a gift, you shall have it. And Arthur, panting, near stunned, he replies with his hands on his chest. But
by my faith, I will give a gift. What do you ask?
And Nimue smiles. I will ask my gift when I see my time. Arthur reaches out and wraps his fingers about the pommel, plucking the glittering sword from where it floats in the air before him. Merlin smiles. He says, and he looks at each of you,
Excalibur. The sword of a king.
Each of you gain 500 glory.
Oh, heck yeah.
Bearing witness to such an event.
And a momentous.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, my God.
This is like being at the Ed Sullivan show where the Beatles made their.
Yes. Yes, it is.
We were there. Where were you when Arthur plucked Excalibur from the lake?
That's cool.
That's so cool, Brian.
Did you know this would happen all this time, Merlin? Did you know he would get mad enough to throw his sword in the lake and then Nimue would go and get it and give him an even better one?
Well, now that you mention it, I suppose I might have, but I didn't at the time. I know it now. Does that make sense? His eyes do this.
Strangely enough, it does make sense to me.
I think I'm speechless. I don't know what to say.
Arthur returns from the water holding what is probably the most beautiful sword you've ever seen. It is no longer rusted. Its pommel and cross guard no longer look like they were repaired multiple times. It is gorgeous. And he smiles upon all of you. And he says, well, I declare now, this sword shall not do death. But this sword shall unite the realm.
I kneel. Same as he says this.
I faint. I pass out. Completely.
Right into the fire.
Sir Quigan's heart stops and he drops dead. All right. Yeah. Can you beat that?
Yeah. I die. Yeah. On the spot.
I have a stroke and I die. Yeah.
Bleeding from my ears.
Oh, no, his polished knob.
No. Save the knob. I will also kneel.
Yes, and Nimue also exits the lake, and she puts on her robe again, but she does look completely different now. And Arthur sheathes his sword, and he looks down upon all of you kneeling. He says, "Brave knights, when the sun rises tomorrow, will you accompany me?"
Yes, anywhere.
Absolutely, your grace.
Yes, your grace.
You will.
Yes.
You will. Really?
Yes.
All that way, you will, really.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
All the way to where? But yes.
We will follow you to the ends of the earth.
Where are we going?
Oh, well, you must join me in Camelot, of course.
Camelot?
Yes.
Absolutely, Your Grace. It would be a great honor. A great honor indeed.
All right. Well, we best all get our rest then.
Yes. And he lays down.
How do you sleep after that?
Do we need to send a note back to Lord Robert and Lady Montague?
Oh, fuck Lord Robert. I've just been invited to Camelot by the king himself.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even telling my wife.
We never got to have our girls' trip.
Well, I'll just ask now before we all go to sleep. Let's go around and just have everybody ask. Have everybody say how their night might be feeling if they have had time to process this. Who would like to go first? I don't want to put anyone in the spot, so someone will go first and we'll go around the horn from there.
I could go.
Okay, so Quigan.
Yeah, I've been thinking so hard. Quigan has been thinking so hard this whole time how to turn this fortuitous meeting with the king into some sort of personal advancement.
Classic Quigan.
And so after he had the conversation, I mean, everything he has said has been genuine and everything. I mean, he's a little bit of a suck up, but like he's trying to get in the good graces of the king because he wants to, you know, kind of move that way forward. And his thinking as it came down to it was like, well, tomorrow, as we pack up things and start heading out, perhaps I will. Well, I told that funny story about Jasper, so perhaps I could like convince him that maybe Jasper could be educated in Camelot. Maybe he could be sent to court or something like that. Perhaps he'd let a lonely knight such as me do something like that.
And maybe he could do something for that other young girl you live with as well.
Yeah, whatever her name is.
Your daughter. Don't recall her name at the moment. And he's, you know, he's just trying to think, like,
what is her name?
How do you just happen to run into, Yvette is her name, how do you just happen to run into the king and not take advantage of that opportunity? So that's like where everything was driving. And the more he talks to him, the more he's just so impressed by not only the wisdom of this, you know, young man, but also the intuition and the understanding of, like, it's almost like he could see the future and how he was like describing in such, you know, an impressive way how all of the disparate and the people that argue with him, what their fate will be. Like, he just knows, he can see how it's all going to go down and that it's not going to be easy. And similarly, I think he's so blown away by, like, he knew, like, what Quigan wanted was to go to Camelot and be a knight of the king. Like, that's what he wanted. And it's almost like this young man just can feel and turn into spin into gold, like whatever he wishes, you know, the sword and now maybe even Quigan's life. So yeah, he still has it's about him. He still has a very selfish sort of motivation at the moment. But he is super impressed by this guy. And I think his loyalty and his homage is very real.
Dame Safina, how do you think she is feeling?
She doesn't sleep at all. And as she's just kind of has her head down, like, by the fire and just like watching everybody else, she's like imagining back in the town and back at the church, like somebody giving like this amazing sermon about like how cool Safina is and how like everybody else needs to do better. And like the whole like townsfolk, like her, she imagines in her head singing like early in the morning, like market day, mm-hmm. just singing about how awesome of a knight she is.
She loves doing that, kind of like
humming to herself very quietly as she's like completely dissociating into this daydream about how cool, imaginary cool she is in the eyes of the town folk.
Sir Caradoc.
I think Sir Caradoc, I mean, this is obviously a dream come true. The opportunity, like even the opportunity for like real glory that seemed like so far out of reach. Like it's the limited questing that we've done for our sort of backwater lord that we've been serving has no comparison to the opportunity that is now being afforded to us. And he's just like, and I also, I think he's not been quite the same ever since he got brained by that stone. So
that's like yeah, that's right.
But he's also like, yeah, he's just like, he's just so impressed by the boy king. And he's sitting there and like, you know, the rest of you, like the opportunity to do this with his friends and to like to see Camelot and to maybe be at the precipice of something truly legendary. And he's just looking at Arthur, like I say, it's this king, like asleep, and just thinking to himself, it's just like, he has changed. He's a different man now. It is as though he has slain the giraffe that is weighed down upon his very soul.
Dame Fiona.
I think Fiona is back to believing she must be chosen for something. To witness this, to see this, to have the chance to speak so brazenly and openly to the king. I mean, she was rude. But it felt like she was supposed to do it. And she was supposed to see this. She was supposed to witness this. Merlin at one point said to her, like, you must help bring the old gods back. You have to help. And now she feels like she's witnessing more and more of that power return. And it is filling her spiritually. She feels as though this is the path she's meant to be on. She's never felt more purpose in her life. And I think filled with that, knowing that, she thinks about Llewellyn and their baby, Clarisant, and knowing that once they get where they're going and we see how things shake out with, do we get to stay in Camelot? Does Arthur need to go tell, you know, Lord Robert that we're not his knights anymore? Is this a temporary thing? But whatever, we'll figure it out. And then Llewellyn and Clarisant will join me and everything's, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be important. And maybe we can help. Maybe we can play a hand in helping unite Britain.
And maybe Arthur could use his powers to restore the birthright of your bastard daughter so she becomes your heir. Yeah.
Legitimize your bastard.
Yeah,
because we were married.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly, yeah.
We ain't married.
So just before we wrap up, it's late in the night when Sir Caradoc and Sir Quiggin are awoken. The moon is high in the sky and the fire has burned to embers. Nimue, Safina, Fiona, and Merlin are fast asleep. But not Arthur. He sits by the lake with his back to you, and he's crying. His weeping has awoken you both.
Oh, no. yeah, approach. Like,
Your Grace, is everything all right?
Well, as you approach, he still goes back to you. He speaks. He told you. He told you and you didn't listen. Or you listened and you did nothing.
I'm sorry, Your Grace, I don't follow. Of whom do you speak?
You notice Arthur's holding something in his hands. something heavy. You did nothing, and now look at what has happened. And he tosses the heavy thing over his shoulder towards you, and it rolls to the ground at your feet. A severed head, bloody, with the face of Arthur himself upon it, frozen in terror.
What? What the? What the?
Okay, I'm going to do a sanity roll. he turns back toward, he grabs the shoulder of what he thought was Arthur and kind of like whips him around.
Yes, he told you. And as you turn him around, you see that his face is not Arthur, but that of a bearded man, young in the eyes, perhaps a man of 20. He told you. The man gets to his feet. He told you if I were raised by another, there would be consequences. And he draws a long and bloody dagger, and he screams at you both. He told you and you did nothing! And he charges directly at you, and you both awake at the same time. The morning sun upon your face. The camp has been put away. Remember, Dame Safina stayed up all night. So, you know, that was definitely a dream. She wasn't sleeping. Everyone is saddling their horses, and Arthur smiles at you in the morning sun. Well, come on, you two lazy knights. We've got quite a ways to go before nightfall. And that is Pendragon under all my sky.
Bro!
Mind blowing!
Dude, oh my god.
Please use Pin Cannon 3. I need to go to Camelot. I need to become a knight of the round table. I need to stop Thomas from killing our Pin Cannon 3.
If you own the lesser version of this book, buy the good one. It's like it feels like a yearbook from the high school you hated when you were in high school.
And it's got a turnaround skit. It's got a cool quote on the back, so you have to read it. People can see, like, it's nice and pretty. Greg Stafford quote.
Last year
on our season finale, like, the Nash really rallied in the comments and was like, everyone, like, use your pen cannon. So, like, please do your use pen cannon 3, 15% off. A couple of things. Also, mention if I was going to ask the players off mic, but at what point in the story did you know what event was about to transpire?
When he threw the sword in the lake. I didn't know at
all, because I don't know the lore at all.
When he threw the sword in the lake, I was like, oh shit, here we go.
Not until then.
But I wasn't sure
I didn't know as it was coming up.
I had to say to Skid in the break, I'm like, oh, hey, if you get any inklings, don't say anything. Yeah. But I'm not sure when you noted. Were you just like, oh, Nimue's here. I guess that's what's going to happen. Or I wasn't sure if you're looking at the map. Because Dosmeri Pool, if you ever Google that, is apparently the lake that supposedly Arthur got the... And that is on the other side of Mortar's Forest, like near Cornwall on the thing. So I had to find out where is... That's why when I wanted to do this, I'm like, where the fuck was the lake? I'm like, oh, it's actually not far from Montacute. Why would they go there? I guess there's some bandits that draw them that way and then they can see them on the way.
Hopefully that was fun.
But what I was going to say is put in the comments if you think you knew... where this was going, when the point in which you think you knew when this was going. But don't do it in like a spoilery way for anybody else. And don't be like, I knew last week when Nimue was there. Don't say that. No one's going to believe you. But the important thing is two other things. If you want more pen cannon, use pen cannon 15. It'll go a really long way to do us doing more of this probably next year or later this year. Or
pen cannon 3?
Pen cannon 3. Pen cannon, is that what I said? Pen cannon 3.
You said pen cannon 15.
Oh, sorry.
Because you were like me, you were thinking pen 15 sorry, pen in cannon, the middle of
use pen cannon 3. Pen Cannon 3 is the code. You get 15% off anything. One time use only. In a couple of weeks, the Boy King campaign will be out. You can get that. You can tell your friends. The code will be up for quite a few months yet, so you got time to do it. It's only once
And I'm going to be providing a little sample of it.
Oh, it's exactly what I was going to say. Gen Con is in a couple of weeks. And Skid, do you want to tell... I'm not sure if you've announced what's going on, but Skid, do you want to tell what you're doing as part of Chaosium Day on the GCN?
I'm going to be running just the very opening of the Boy King adventure as part of our Gen Con festivities.
Very
excited about
I'm
that.
I'm playing in it. New night.
So good.
Not going to play Sir Quegan. I'm pumped.
Have you had a chance to flick through the Boy King book at all yet, Skid? It's okay if you
just a little time. Just skimmed the very beginning of it a little bit. It is
Do you
gorgeous.
Think it looks cool? Yeah, all right.
It does look very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very excited for
And
this,
if you're at Gen Con, you'll be able to pick it up too. And remember, there's a standard version. There's a leatherette version as normal. But there's actually a limited edition alternate art cover which is not going into retail. There's only a couple of hundred of these being printed. They won't be reprinted, but your first chance to get those will be at Gen Con as well. Come along to, if you're going to Gen Con, come along to Call of Cthulhu Live. There's two Call of Cthulhu Live shows. I'm in both of them, which is really cool. I guess Troy heard me complaining about the New Orleans thing a couple of weeks ago and wanted me to come on. So, yeah, that was good. But anyway, thank you. I just want to say at the end of the season, people are always very complimentary about the show. And I just, I swear to God, I'm not pandering, but 97% of the reason the show is so good is because of the four people on this call who make it so easy to tell excellent stories in this space with these great characters.
It's you. No,
it's, I swear to God, it's not me. As I've said famously before, the GM is not that important. I am a gateway to adventure, but you guys are the adventure. So, you know, walk
through
the job.
It's at least 50-50, Brian.
Thank you so much.
You're incredible.
Don't be ridiculous.
I enjoy playing with you, and this has been a real blast for me.
Really.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it. I just hope we can play more.
I know.
This be the end. If this is the finale forever, we'll cry when it's the actual proper finale, you know, and everyone dies.
What?
At least no one dies. It's okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, from nothing else, old age. Old age.
Right, that's right. And okay. Then, that's right. I play Clarisson. I shall live to see BoJack 15.
My host. Out for anyone but me? No?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you, Brian.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chaosium.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Cheers.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
We'll see you in Camelot! Woo! Yeah.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Whitney.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the hosts of True Crime Campfire. We set out to make a true crime podcast we'd want to listen to. We get right to the story. We don't do a lot of extra talking, and when we do, it's usually to roast the short hairs off of some loser, murderer, or scammer. You'll laugh, but only at the people who deserve it.
Like, which serial killer would you most like to shove into a locker?
BTK and his awful poetry. Dude got caught because he didn't understand what a floppy disk was.
We look for the stranger-than-fiction stories, like the case of Patty James, a killer catfish before the internet was even a thing.
Or Howard Walmsley, a sentient wad of damp laundry who convinced his town he'd won the lottery, fleeced local businesses out of thousands, and then became a romance scammer.
We've covered tons of cases you've never heard of. Cults, scammers, killers.
So come find your next great binge. Listen to True Crime Campfire on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Friday.